Good evening, folks. This is The Weird Part, and I am your host, Vincent Treewell. Tonight, my very special guest is Angela from the Zen Dragonfly. Welcome aboard, Angela.
Thank you. Thanks for having me tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. First of all, I'd like to thank you for your time, because I know you have a very busy practice, and it's a very fascinating and eclectic practice to me. I'd like to share a little synchronicity of how I came to be aware of you and your operation. I usually shave my head. I almost never go to a barbershop, but it kind of gotten away from me. And so I, once in a blue moon, I go to a barbershop, and I went to a Sports Clips, and they usually just play sports on the TV while you're waiting. They messed up my timing. I had an appointment, and then it got messed up, so I ended up having to sit and wait for quite a while. And then they changed to the local news. And I happened to be sitting there when they interviewed you. And I'm never at that place, and I usually don't watch that timing of the local news. And synchronistically, I happened to see your interview and said, "Oh man, I didn't even know this existed in Milwaukee. I've got to have her on the show, and I've got to interview her and get what's going on." And it was very unlikely that I would have been there at that time and place and seen that. And that struck me as not an accident, you know?
They're never accidents, right? Everything is set up divine time.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It's a true synchronicity. So I guess to start out with, how would you describe what you do at the Zen Dragonfly?
It's a lot. It's like two different worlds mixed together, right? So here's this holistic healing business of Reiki and shamanic drumming and crystal work and tuning forks and sound healing on that side. Then on the other side comes this spiritual practice that comes into play. So it's teaching people about Black folk traditions of voodoo, conjure, root work, whatever way they call it, but then doing spiritual work for people. Sometimes they will request a candle working to be done for them, or they may come in for a spiritual bath, right? And so, and then come into the shop that sells a lot of voodoo type items that were used for concerns. We call them concerns or working. And so it's kind of, but I marry them up together. I don't know how they got married up, but they got married up together and they became what the Zen Dragonfly is. I actually started with Reiki because it just was this beautiful healing modality that made sense to me. In the beginning, it didn't make sense, but over time, it just really made sense to me. And I felt like I don't see any other practitioners that look like me, so let's get them out here. So I went all the way to the Reiki master teacher and started attuning other people to Reiki, which is a Japanese healing. And so that's where it started. And then it just seemed like everything snowballed from there.
Yes. For those who might not be, you know, that well informed about it, would it be fair to call Reiki kind of like acupuncture without the needles? The moving the energy around?
Yeah, it can be, but it's more probably like massaging a person without massaging them. Still moving energy around like acupuncture does. So I guess it could be said like the same concept of the needles moving through a person. But this is just energy going into the spaces of the body that need it. So yeah. But
I mean, that's a huge oversimplification. I mean, there's a lot to it.
And
but
that's a good idea. I never thought to use the one of acupuncture, but I think I probably don't because it probably scares people because of the needles.
Yes.
The concept of thinking, even though it's not the same, but the idea of thinking about a needle. So I say it's kind of like Massage. Massage moves energy through the body. This is like giving a person massage without massaging them. But it's also like laying of the hands. You're laying your hands on the person, sending this loving white light into their body to spread and help them with clarity, relaxation, any pain in the body as well.
Wow. Now, you combine that, and from just looking at the stuff that you've posted and stuff that's on the web about your shop, you've combined them in a really beautiful way with a very, you know, things that I thought only might be found in the Deep South, with Black folk tradition. And I'm going to, you know, ask some questions about that in just a minute. But I was, when I heard you say you had the only hoodoo shop in Milwaukee, I was like, wait a minute. We have a hoodoo shop right here? You know, I thought you had to go to Louisiana for that type of thing. And
yeah, you would think, but I'm from the South. I'm from the South. I'm from Alabama. I'm not from New Orleans, but remember, hoodoo wasn't just in New Orleans. It was any place in the South or anywhere where there was pretty much oppressed people. So that can be in the Appalachians just as well, because they are akin to hoodoo. They call theirs granny magic, but remember, there was a lot of Black people in the Appalachians just as well.
I see. It's interesting because I happen to be married to a Black lady who was originally from Mississippi, and she has had experiences with the folk magic, but grew up in a very missionary Baptist family where you do not talk about that type of thing, and you aren't even supposed to know about that type of thing. And if anything contacts you, it's a demon. And so I didn't think that that was something that would be around here. It's interesting. So yes, again, this is kind of an entry level, like basic question, but could you break down for me the differences between Vodun, voodoo, hoodoo, and juju?
And so Vodun and hoodoo and voodoo really are religion. So one, really they interchange the name of Vodun and voodoo. I mean, in voodoo, see, I can't, I'm getting it interchanged. Vodun and voodoo. Voodoo is really originally from Haiti, right? Voodoo might be more in the Africa region, right? But it's an interchanging name from my understanding, because I don't practice voodoo, right? I'm not part of that religion. I'm part of hoodoo, which is a spiritual practice, right? Juju is actually something that they try to murder in Africa. Like they try to get rid of it, because a lot of times juju could be the negative side of those religions. Really, juju in Africa probably was the oldest religion practice in Africa before it got removed by the colonists that came to their country. But juju, a lot of times, my friend and I was just talking about it, and she was like, well, juju still exists, you know that. And I said, I know it still exists. It's usually the darker side of the practice, because it's still hidden because so many Africans have gone into Christianity. But the other religion still exists is voodoo and Ifa, which works with the Orishas. And so those religions are still there. Overall, when you look at voodoo, it's a veneration of the ancestors, meaning our relationship is stronger with our ancestors than anything, right? And so therefore it becomes a personal practice that we do for connecting with our ancestors, because everyone has ancestors, whether they know them or not. We know we do. We have to, otherwise we wouldn't even be here talking like that. So that's the main ingredient in voodoo. The pieces that came from the religion of voodoo and voodoo are pieces that came into hoodoo as the practice. Because you don't have to be initiated into hoodoo as you would into voodoo or voodoo or juju.
Okay. I
But even
think that makes a lot of sense. Yes. And your spirituality is hoodoo and is related to contacting the ancestors.
Yes.
Okay. And
no bad habits.
I was going to get to that who all you talk to, because it's interesting to me that it seems like a worldwide phenomena that all human beings have a need to talk to their ancestors, and that maybe African American people do it through hoodoo. I know a number of spiritualists, most of whom are white, who go and have a spiritualist meeting and talk to their ancestors. And the Native American people that I know also communicate with the ancestors. And it seems like all around the world, everybody, even in China, in wherever, everybody needs to, at some level, talk to the ancestors. And in kind of the commercialized modern society, that's one thing we don't have, is a link to talk to the ancestors. And maybe that's how we got off into some of the problems that we've had. You know, because that's something that modern life, doesn't have a lot of.
Yeah, and I think it's part of being able, the connecting with our ancestors is really slowing down, taking the time from the modern, fast-moving world. It's like two, for me, it feels like two spaces. So I'm in the modern world or outside. I used to call it the outside world, because I feel like in my space, when I'm with them and my altars are set up, I'm in a different kind of world. It's a different realm. It feels different. It doesn't feel like. Right? And so those connections are easier to get to because I can listen to them. I can actually hear them. They communicate with me as I communicate with them.
Wow. And you only speak with the spirits of the ancestors or other spirits?
Well, other spirits talk to me. Other spirits do communicate. So I have deities that I work with that just kind of, I always had to go, what's the permissions here? Like, why are you talking to me, right? So I have a couple of ancient deities that are with me. And my main girl is Maniwata, which is an ancient African deity. She is the mermaid that we see. She is really probably the original mermaid. Someone will dispute it, but she is the original, because if Africa is the mother of all, then she would be the mother of all the waters, the tears, everything. The baby inside the mother's stomach, she is the water. And so she is my main deity that came to me. And the other one is Beset, the Egyptian deity that kind of resides with me. They've been with me for a long time. Yeah.
And they reach out to you, or you communicate to them through ritual, or both?
Well, the connection came from them. Like, I felt the pull. It would be people that would tell me about Mommy Water and tell me stories about her. And someone that has some psychic abilities said, there's an ancient coming for you. And I was like, I know, but I'm not ready for her. And then one day she was like, yeah, you ready? I can't wait anymore. And so I did all the things, all the correspondence for her, set up her altar. And then I didn't even research this. I started researching and found out, oh, I've put all the correspondence together. I already had it. And so I knew that this was coming for me, that she was coming. And she likes popcorn, I found out, and I absolutely love it. I was like, well, this has probably been brewing for a little while, of this relationship. That's how that one came. And the Bastet one, the energy of cats have always been around me. Like, I would, like, watch cats. the study cat. And then it just, she just showed up and she kept showing up. And everything I would look at, it would be this black cat and this energy of this warrior. And it would show up in my readings, and it would show up in just like a daydream or a vision. And I had to, like, am I supposed to work with you? And she would tell me, yes. And then I would work with her, and I would do all the correspondence for her. So they're on two separate altars.
Wow.
One is upstairs and one is down here.
Wow, that is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's not, and I wouldn't say weird, but this is your show. And it's the weird part.
Indeed, indeed. And I never mean that in a bad way. I just mean the outside, the normal boring life, you know.
Right. And I don't have a boring life.
I get that impression pretty early.
There's a lot going on over here.
How did you get started in all of the esoteric and all the things that you're into?
Yeah, I always try to remember when did this all happen, and I feel like it was always there, even as a little kid, because I didn't have a lot of friends as a kid. My mother had said something to me. She's like, because I learned stuff super easy. Like, if you show me how to do it, I just, okay, I can do it. Show me how to knit. I can knit. Show me how to crochet. I can crochet. Show me how to sew. I can sew. Show me how to make that, how to cook that, how to read that. I can do it. Just easy. And so she would say stuff like, a lot of people are not going to like that you know how to do stuff. But she also would say, sometimes you saying that you see something on people is not a good thing.
So that's an ability that you kind of had innately.
Yeah, and I was like, they look like they're hungry. Can we feed them? You know, or can we give this lady a ride on the bus stop? She shouldn't be on the bus. And I'm like, why? I said, it's dangerous. It's not a good place for her to be on the bus. But it wasn't everybody. It was just these certain people that I would see on the street. Uh-huh. And if she would introduce me to someone, I'd go, I don't want to shake your hand. She's like, Angela, that's rude. I said, I don't want to shake their hand. And I would not shake their hand. Because I would, and if I did shake their hand, I would be hesitant. And then I would like wipe my hands on the floor. And so she was like, you have to stop doing it. That's not good. People are think you are crazy. And I was like, I'm a little kid. I don't know really what that even means. And so over time, it kind of got dimmed out. Like, I just kind of went with the outside world life. And as I got older and I had a chance to slow down and listen to a lot of things and learn and research and have experiences, like take a class on tarot, go to New York and take a class on tarot. And tarot wasn't even in my vein, but someone kept saying, you should get a deck. And I'm like, I don't want a deck, they're pretty. So I started buying them for the artwork.
Which is often beautiful, yes.
Oh my goodness. I have like maybe 100 or so decks or more, and I might just be saying it because I don't want everybody to know that I've got some kind of problem with deck. But I love art, so I would buy a lot of decks based on the artwork. And it wasn't my thing. But what really became my thing is one winter when I was just by myself, no one around me, it just took over. I felt it was. I started crying. I felt like a rush of energy coming over me, and everything shifted. Like, and I don't even know why it happened or anything. And really, I now say it wasn't for me to know, because they knew. They caused this shift to happen. And so when that shift happened, there was someone on Instagram who was reading charms, right? And so I was like, that's interesting. And so I started putting together my own set. So I had a lot of found objects and little curio things and built this set. So I'm sitting at the table. I had all the things that she had, you know, made my own stuff to go with it. And then I was sitting there and my friend came over and I told her how excited I was. And I did a reading for her and she's like, oh my goodness, someone in your family does this. You know, And she described the woman, but I couldn't register who it was. I told my mother about it. And she said, oh, that's Amy. And I went, oh my goodness. And then like this flood of information and remembrance came back to me. Memory came back to me about all the things my aunt, my Amy, and my grandmother used to do with me.
Wow.
I remember it with my sisters just with me. And they would
Wow.
blow their breath into me. They would have me blow my breath back at them. They would blow their breath in my hands and in my feet. And then I said, this is why I do Reiki. Right? And they treated me like special. Like they were, and you know, I'm in the South. We have an outhouse. We don't have a tub. We have a galvanized tub. So baths for me were like the special baths for the queen. So they treated me very special. And I think they knew what was on me. And so, and my mother knew it too, but she was a Baptist church lady, right? She grew up in the Baptist church. And I kind of grew up in the Baptist church until I was 13. And I told her something. And she was like, oh, it's time to go. And but yeah, I think it just has been in me all along, but I just had to get older and wiser and be able to listen for it to be released.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Yes. I guess I'm kind of getting the questions out of order a little bit, but I think it's okay.
It's okay.
What do you think about reincarnation? You
I
think you've been
that,
around here before?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I feel like, you know, I don't know if you know the singer, but there's a singer that used to, that Rick James brought to life. Brought her into the world, and her name is Tina Marie.
Oh, yes, yes.
So when I was probably 18, this song came out that she made about being young and old and being here many times before. That song, when I first heard it as a teenager, clicked in me, but I didn't understand the words of it. I didn't understand what that meant. It just sounded so beautiful. Her voice was beautiful. But when I got older, I sat and I listened to that song with the headphones on a record player, and I went, oh my goodness, this is how I feel. I feel like I've been here many times before, right?
Yeah.
And then when she would say at the end, like, I swear I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back no more. And I was like, yeah, I done been back here so many times. I don't want to come back. But I met someone just recently. She said, Angela, you are the mother of mothers. You have been here so many times, and they will keep sending you back. And I was like, I don't want to come back. I said, can I go to a space planet? And she's like, yeah, you can go to a space planet, and you'll be talking like, she said, you can't escape this role that you have. It is your role. I was like, I don't want to be here no more after I leave here. But I feel like I've been here so many times, so many different lifetimes, lifetimes that I remember telling people stories, very few, because I didn't want anybody thinking I was crazy, about being part of Aztec culture, being part of Egyptian culture, being a Roman warrior, just all kind of placements. And I said, I feel like I know I've been here more than I can even comprehend. And I feel, yes, reincarnation is most definitely real, and that we just don't understand, because in that lifetime, we're in that lifetime, and when they say, okay, it's time for you to go, and we'll call you back when we're ready for you.
Yes. Oh, I completely agree. I don't have that many coherent memories, but for my own certainty, I am 100% certain that I died in World War II, that I was an American military man, and I died in the Pacific. And that was, when I was 12 years old, I was at this, I was at the EAA air show up in Oshkosh, and with my father and my grandfather, and they were reenacting this air battle. And I was struck by this very powerful experience, that it was really unfair that the two guys who were narrating it
were World War II veterans who had been in that battle. And I felt it was really unfair that I had been in that battle too, but I didn't get to reenact it. And I'm like, you're a 12-year-old kid. You haven't been in any battle. What are you talking about? But I really and truly felt like I totally had been there. And that just struck like a lightning bolt. I mean, that really hit. And had a lot of just strange deja vu over my whole life. And deja vu for things that I couldn't possibly have experienced. And that, I am convinced of reincarnation myself.
Okay, sure. Yes.
And you brought it up that what I was going to bring up, if you didn't, that I don't think we're restricted to this planet or to, you know, this locale at all. That we probably have lived as other beings in other places. And we may not even, I don't claim to understand how time works. So we may have, our past lives may not all be one after the other. We might have lived in the future at some point and come back to this point. I don't know, but I find that very interesting, you know?
It is, because I feel like, for me, sometimes, I feel like I have been placing it, right? We've never been on this planet before, right? But always knew about this planet and the people on it. And I said the same way. She said, you are the mother of mothers. I'm going to say it again. You're not from here. You know, and I was like, I'm not from here. I'm in 5D. You know, and they were like, 5D. I said, yeah, I'm in 5D. And they just be like, okay, Angela. Okay, it's okay. You can feel the way you want to feel. I already know. Right? I just know that I'm just not from here. I'm from other places.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I think it's okay.
We are multidimensional beings, you know.
Definitely.
To go back, what you were mentioning about doing divination with found objects, that was really interesting to me. That you, like, I mean, there's like 1,000 different systems of divination, but could you, what's your, well, you do tarot, you do, like, do you throw small objects and interpret how they land?
I actually throw bones now because they elevated me from the trunk. They didn't want me to have a lot of manufactured, man-made things in it. So as I build my set, my casting set, I started taking away the charms and adding in more bones. But they also allowed me to keep some of the fountains that I had. But the charms that, you know, you buy a set of charms that for charms that represent yoga and charms that represent trains. They didn't want me to have those manufactured sets. They wanted me to create my own set from the found thing. And that's what I ended up doing.
Wow.
So there's muskrat bones, deer teeth, chicken bones, which is traditional, and little squirrel bones, just little bird beaks, little stuff like that as part of my set. And then the found objects that I've just been holding on to. Coin from Thailand that I would use for big money and small money. The bones would represent the chakras. Some bones would represent things from tarot. And I just assigned everything and created my own system out of it.
Wow. That is really fascinating. I'm sorry, I lost you there for a second. The audio?
Sorry about that. Take very good care to cleanse the bones, have commune with them, and then also honor them for being a part of my set because they used to be something that was living. And so now I just take care of them. I watch over them.
I see. And when you do look, when you cast them, are you like predicting the future? Are you telling people what's going on in the present? Or are you trying to do a magic working for a result? Or all of the above?
Yeah, so I've never used them to do a working. I have used them to mainly do what tarot does, but in a different kind of way. It's usually like stuff that's going on, And then it gives way to this full out conversation of what their movements would be. Like they're telling me this is something coming your way. Because I'll do a crossroad, make a crossroad on my casting sheet. On my casting, I have a, like a black piece of leather and I draw the crossroad. And I decide this is now or future or directionals. North, south, east, west. And then I assign them a time frame. And so some stuff is like happening right now, something is coming down the road, something is in the future or way out, right? But I don't like reading, going back in people's past because I don't want to know. That's none of my business. Because your past kind of discerns your where you are right now. And so usually that's where, because something they did in the past is messing them up. So in the present, or it's been really good, and now this they got it starting to fall apart. So yeah, that's pretty much whatever the bones are, what they tell me.
Could you elaborate a little bit about the crossroads? Because I know in kind of like pop culture superstition, that means one thing, but in your belief system, it undoubtedly means something very different.
Oh, for sure. In my belief system, it's where we take stuff to the crossroads and let them handle it. Whoever your them is, you let them handle it. So once we do a working for a situation, and now it's time to dispose of the working, right? So I will wrap, if there's anything left from it, from burning or whatever, wrap it up, tie it off, take it to a crossroad away from where I live, and then toss it over my shoulder and keep going. Try not to go back in that area because I say I can handle it now because I did what I'm supposed to do, and now it's out of my hand, right? So the crossroads, but it can be a place of vengeance where a lot of times we can work in a crossroad. But we live in a city. I don't want to get hit.
We have crazy crossroads everywhere, you know.
Yeah, I can't do it in the city. So if I'm out in the country sometimes, like if I'm back down south or somewhere where there's less traffic, a lot less traffic, I would have enough time to do a working in the crossroad. I would do the working right there in the crossroad, get done with it, and leave it and walk away. And say, y'all got it? I'm done, right? And then let them do whatever they want to do. So that's the other part. Because usually if I'm working, if someone is working in a crossroad, that's some heavy duty work that they need big guidance. So now they're not just talking, maybe not just to their ancestors, but other helping spirits to come along and help them with this working. Sometimes some people are calling on the Orisha, right? And so they're there. They might be calling from the laws that are from Badu or Badu. So they might be calling on some other spirits to help them in the crossroads.
It would.
I've never done a working in the crossroads.
No, I think I understand that. That makes a lot of sense. Yes. I guess I was just bringing it up because, well, you know, the whole Robert Johnson thing and everything. And that's a Christian kind of misinterpretation. Yeah, a Christian misinterpretation of what you do there. You're reaching out to the gods. And that's,
But here's the thing, that Robert Johnson thing, that could have been happened that way too, because he's asking for assistance. The system didn't come from where he thought it was coming from, and they got a hold of him, right? And so those stories that people tell about not working at a crossroad is because of that, right? But also being mindful of who you are calling to. Right? Who are you asking for assistance? You're just not randomly out there and just say you need assistance and they all kind of things come up and go, oh, I got you. I got you. As long as you do it for me, right? Because those helping spirits are not going to say, as long as you do something for me, like it's not going to be no deals. My folks are going to be like, we got you and we're going to do it. Not, if you do this for me, I got you. No, I'm not going to do that with you.
Yes, that's something I guess. Is that, would you say, how you differentiate between good and evil spirits?
Yeah, I think so because he think about it. It's probably a lot of people that made deals, that not even what someone would really call a devil, because I don't really believe in that. But we know if there's good energy, it's got to be bad energy. We got to know if it's bad spirits, it's got to be good spirits too, right?
Yes.
And
Well, just like
bad
there's
spirits.
people that are, good people, and there's people that are very bad people, and
This is true. So it's got to be that way as well, right?
Yes.
And so those things come into play in all of this. So, but he wanted such fame that he was willing to do whatever it took. And so those stories become folklore in some way, but then they translate back into what these things can do.
Wow. I guess
You
that's a good,
taking a chance.
that's, I think that's a good segue into Ouija boards. Tell me, is that something you deal with or don't deal with,
No,
or?
not at all. Not at all. I used to play one when I was a little kid, when I was like a teen, but as an adult, that's not in my realm whatsoever. I feel like that might be a pagan or Wiccan. I know, yeah, I don't even, they're not even a part of nothing with me. Nothing, I don't have anything to do with them.
It's interesting because I know a number of very active practitioners who will not have anything to do with the Ouija board. And they'll do a lot of other stuff. They'll do all sorts of things, but they won't touch that. And
Yeah, and I don't know what that is, to tell the truth, but it has no interest or appeal to me.
okay.
I feel like I don't need that little board. I can talk to him if I want to.
It's
Because
just an interesting thing how often it comes up as something to be left alone,
I think the movies have villainized so many things that are legit in people's practices that they don't want parts of them because it takes away their, it kind of devalues what their real work is, maybe. But I think it does that because I remember meeting people from New Orleans who say they practice, but tell me they want me to come and teach them. I'm like, you in New Orleans, why you want me to come down here? And they would say it's because how I married up my business and it's frontward facing. They feel like they still are in hiding in a lot of instances, but that was a while back. But I think now they probably are, out there because the popularity and the exposure of these practices and religions have really started to surface,
Oh,
a little bit more.
yes. Society is drastically changing in our openness to what used to be called the occult,
Yeah, because you don't even
And
hear it called that anymore.
yeah, it's not really hidden if you can just look it up on the internet, I guess I'm kind of changing the subject a little bit, but this is just something I found real interesting. What is root work and what does that involve?
Well, root work is still part of hoodoo. Some people call it root work. Down south, they call it conjure work or root work. And root work is actually a very much plant-based. So we're using a lot of roots because they feel the roots are the strongest part of the plant anyway. So that's what they're doing. They're using those roots. They grind the roots down. They dry the roots, grind the roots down. They make a master oil out of mandrake root to use for everything else that they make. They use John the Conqueror root for like making yourself feel strong and move yourself forward in life or get people to work with you. So they use Jezebel root to be persuasive. So that's root work, right? Because you're making foot traffic powder out of the roots because you grind them down into a powder. You're making oils, conditions oil. We call them conditioning oils to get people to do things the way you want them to do it, to move the way you want them to move. And so root work is when we watch somebody just go. You tell somebody that's been saying, I don't want that woman. I don't want her in my life. And then someone gives them Jezebel root, tell the woman how to use it, and then go and she rubs it on him and he's like, following her around like a puppy.
That is some fascinating results, yes.
And so there's stories in Black culture of how people have worked the roots on someone, right? Some are in very positive ways to help someone heal, or some of them can be in very negative ways because someone did something wrong. And hoodoo, in that practice, even with roots, just naming it in different things. So different places probably call something a conjurer. Someone calls someone a hoodoo, and not even in the term of the practice, but they call themselves a hoodoo. Like I say, I'm a hoodoo. But I also sometimes say I'm a root worker, right? And or a conjurer, because they're all together basically the same thing, you know? And so it's all wrapped up. It's all wrapped up.
That's something I saw with your whole, the things I've seen online from your store, which I totally intended to go there physically on Saturday, and then about 18 inches of snow came down on us, and I couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, winter was not playing with us.
No, it came back with true Wisconsin fashion. It hit us hard. But everything I've seen is just, your place seems really fascinating. You have all these different traditions and cultures interacting, intermingling, crossing over, and being a lot of the same, not the same, but variations on a theme, you might say, of working energy, of doing things, bringing things into reality, getting results, divination, just a whole lot of stuff, some of which I've heard of a lot, some of which I've never heard of. And it's very interesting. Like what you posted about those little brooms.
Oh, the little brooms? Yeah. And so the brooms is in a lot of, you right. So when you think about the witches and the brooms, right? So here we are in that era of Wiccan and pagan witches, right? And then in the South, when I was a kid, I didn't know it at the time. My grandmother and we had three houses on the land.
Hold on 1 second. Okay.
The porch. And every morning, someone would get up and sweep the porch. I was like, the porch got to be clean. Because they had no people, man. Right, but they would sweep the porch, and it would only be for a few minutes, like sweep the porch. And so, as I got older and started looking at like where this concept of the broom comes from down south, I found out that mainly like in South Carolina with the Gullah Geechee people, who are fantastic practitioners, and they would have these brooms on their porch. And I asked somebody, "What's the broom about?" And it was like to sweep the haunts away from the night before. Because we don't want them lingering around. We want them gone. And so this idea came too when they would paint porches blue, that they call it haunt blue, and they would paint the ceilings of the porches in the South. You would just go around anywhere in the South that had a porch, particularly Louisiana, you would see porches, the ceilings painted blue, because that kept those spirits away from your house. And by the time that blue would make them not want to be there, they didn't like the color. And so the broom came to be to sweep that energy away. So with the little bitty cinnamon brooms are about bringing in good luck at the end of the year. So you're sweeping out the old stuff, and you're also calling in the new. So for those little brooms, I usually kept one on my altar, like to sweep after the heat of a working that I may have done. Like, I gotta sweep this away. So it's kind of like making it into a fan, but I'm sweeping stuff away. So my future is to after we come out of this past Pluto, I'm gonna tattoo like little brooms so I can fan people away. Just fan them away. Like, no, get away from me. And so, but the broom ideal, the cinnamon broom, is really about bringing abundance in. So I would even cut those brooms up and make them into incense, like burn it like an incense over a charcoal. But they're pretty much about abundance, and they come around. And what's amazing, like when you look at the outside world, mainstream, how everyone's running to get a sentiment room, but really not knowing what it is. They just know that for centuries people carry these burdens and hung them in their kitchens and bring abundance, and you're doing something that I eat, which you don't consider the whole realm part of it. Just this one thing is okay. It's okay to do that. It's okay to do Easter. Okay, but do you know that's honoring this goddess over here? Right? And so it's, you know, all these things that they pick and choose what is good to practice or do and not really know what it's about or where it came from. That's my soapbox.
Oh no, that makes a lot of sense. That I mean, there's a ton of folklore that we all of us interact with every day. I mean, you talk about a Christmas tree or something, and it has all sorts of occult pagan origins that have nothing whatsoever to do with Christmas, which even wasn't even on December 25th, and long story that you probably all know all about, but you know, it's like nothing to do with Christianity at all, but it's still there in most people's house on Christmas. Yes. So yeah.
And I'm just always going, I'm always going, wow, y'all got a tree up? And then I know, and I have to listen to them ancestors go, this is not your fight, Angela. it's not your placement to do this. So just be quiet. Let them have their tree.
Oh.
And Christmas Easter is really the most crazy one of all. So
please elaborate.
Think of the eggs and the bunnies. That has nothing to do with a resurrection.
Once when I was going to college, I was approached by an exchange student from China who quite seriously looked me in the eye and said, what does a rabbit that lays eggs have to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And I was like, I don't know, man. I'm really not that a religious guy. He's like, and then he told me, rabbits don't lay eggs. I am aware of that. You know, it's a symbol, but like I can't explain it to you exactly.
Exactly. And it has nothing to do with it, right? And so spring, that idea of bringing spring forth, you know, it comes from Viking, Nord, Nord culture, or Viking culture of this Ostara that brings the spring to being, and the ideal of the multiplying of bunnies and eggs and fertility and birthing and all that stuff. But then you wrap it up in Easter, and at church, y'all have an Easter egg.
And somehow, yeah, somehow it gets connected with Passover and Easter, which is named for a pagan goddess. Yes. And it it gets rebranded and rebranded. Yes.
Yeah. But no one's paying attention to that.
No, no. And, you know, everybody wants to be the Cadbury Bunny, as they say. That sells, you know. One of the things that I noticed you work with a lot is crystals. What's what's that about?
So they're shiny. They're shiny.
Oh yes, they sure are.
But some of them are. But I really like the crystals that are raw, that haven't been put through machines and stuff, tumbled. But the crystals came along as part of adding them into amplifying some of the work that I do. So in the fact of, in the ideal of Reiki is really where they came in. So I started using crystals on my clients. So I would like find all the crystals that would align with each chakra, and then placing those crystals on them. And I saw the extra benefit of doing that type of crystal work. Then I started putting them underneath the table and making grids out of them, and it just amplified the work. But then also saying, okay, I think you need to work with this piece of sodalite because your throat chakra is jacked up. And then they would carry around this sodalite, and I would give them meditations to do. And they were like, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe how my throat was vibrating and this, this crystal just vibrating on my throat. And then when I started really, really looking at crystals, like, these are living components from the earth. Why would they not really work with us? Why wouldn't they work with us? Because we're living, they're living, and they're really growing in popularity because the earth is saying, y'all need some help. And we're here to help you. So we want you to now really understand us and learn about us and use us to help yourself and help other people as well. And so I love crystals. They're not, like I said, I made grids with them. I put them in some of my items that I make for the shop as well, because of the properties that go with this. So if I make love oil, there might be a piece of rose quartz inside that would love oil, right? So amplify the working. Or even I'll tell people, rub this love oil on this crystal and then carry it with you in your pocket. So, because if I think back in time, maybe there were some people that were using, but they didn't know what they were. They were just carrying around a piece of amethyst and didn't know what it was, but they knew it did something for them. Because it's not really written that is part of hoodoo, but again, we are in these new modern times where things are showing up and they're saying, I need you to use me too, right? I need you to add me into your work. And so that's what happened with crystals to me.
There seems to me, and I'm just speculating here, but there seemed to be a real connection or like a crossover between crystals and roots. That crystals are almost like a slower growing version of a plant.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That they're not totally different, you know?
Yeah, because they're both coming from the earth. So, And so when you think about dandelion, I always match dandelion root to citrine, right? Because citrine is this beautiful energy of masculine energy to propel you forward. And dandelion root is definitely about strength and power. And Christine, selenite. Oh. Okay, what did I say? Citrine.
Yes. I don't citrine. Know the names of the different minerals too well.
Okay. Citrine, and using that with dandelion root brings this beautiful power and strength in someone's life. So using that root with that crystal is super, like, you amplified everything you're doing with it, right? Because they both are from the earth. One's a little bit denser than the other one, right? One is a plant, one is a stone. And so working with those together is a beautiful matchup. I did, at Alice's Garden, she asked me what I wanted to teach. And I said, I want to teach the marrying of crystals to herbs and how they work together.
Oh, wow.
And so that's what I did. It was a short little class, like rose, using rose to go with rhodonite instead of regular rose quartz or pink calcite. I would use rose and pink calcite together. Or I would use basil and green aventurine because marry up that ideal of bringing in abundance. Right, and just marrying up crystals to herbs and how they work together, then how do you use that? So if I'm cooking a dish, I might set a piece of green aventurine on the table with the spaghetti dinner that I'm making. I wouldn't put it in food.
No, I get you, but I can tell you I have never heard anybody put those two together in that way. And yet when you say it, it makes total sense, you know, that of course. And they're both from the earth. That kind of leads me into the next thing I was going to ask you. You grew up in the rural environment, but you live in a major city. Do you find any impediment to being like in touch with the earth because you live in the city? Or is that not a factor? Can you be in touch with the earth anywhere?
You can be in touch with the earth anywhere because living in Wisconsin has beautiful spaces to be connected to nature. We live right on an ocean, on an ocean, on a lake. We're right here on a lake, right? We have beautiful parks here in Wisconsin. We have beautiful open spaces and state parks that we can get into. And I usually go right outside in my yard and take the shoes off and walk around the yard barefoot. Or when I'm gardening, just no gloves and digging in dirt and stuff like that. So we can still do it, but it's something totally different to be out there in the middle of the night with lightning bugs and hearing crickets and frogs and stuff, and you out digging dirt and stuff, digging up stuff, or burying earth, burying jars out in the country, because you can't really do it here in the city. So it is a little bit different to be in the city and not being able to do some of the stuff that you would do down south, because I'm living next to some neighbors. I don't want them to see me out here digging dirt at.
People might have questions, yes, that they wouldn't have.
Out there, they're probably not going to see me out there. I got to have a flashlight and everything to go out there and dig dirt, right? Because there's no light out there. So it's a little bit different, and it can be challenging, but over time, I just learned how to work around it. And if I get someplace where I'm down south or by a body of water that's not a lake, I usually collect the water and bring it back home with me.
Ah, yes, I saw something. I think, did you have something like Florida water?
Yeah, yeah, so I make the Florida water.
And that has some properties that people find helpful.
And
did
then
you
the story about it, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask you to just kind of elaborate how that works.
Yeah, so this thing of Florida water came from in Florida. It actually started in Florida. So there were these two brothers, a couple of brothers, and they created this older toilet. Because when white people from the north would come down south, they would come back all tan, and people say, oh my God, you look so young, like, did you find a fountain of youth or something? And they said that it was in Florida. And so I was down there with my mom, and we were going to a famous Dolly Museum. We went to the Dolly Museum. And supposedly where his museum is where the fountain of youth is at. And so here's this fountain with a little trickle of water coming out of it. And I was like, there's a lot of people going to be aging. Anyway, so these guys made this older toilet, and it's kind of like that idea of the snake oil salesman telling people this will keep you young, and the fragrance was really pretty. It had some bergamot and floral notes and clove notes in it, so men and women could wear it. And so when they come back from Florida, they would bring this Florida water up to other people, and it starts traveling through the South as this fountain of youth ideal of this youthfulness. But when it got to New Orleans, it shifted. It went into use as, and shamans use it as well, to like remove negative energy off of the person that they're working with. But in hoodoo, they would do the same thing, take it into their mouth and spit it back out and send it to the person to, or spit it onto the fire, and then, you know, it's flammable, so they make all the smoke. But then they also started using it to clean their tools that they work with, their altars, and like all the products that you would use, like a candle, clean the candle with Florida water, because it removes negative energy. And that was how it developed into this thing that a lot of practitioners and shamans and other people started using. They just changed its usage.
That's really interesting. And I just look at the, you know, the kind of cross-cultural comparison of water. In Christianity, you have baptism. In Judaism, you have the mitzvah. In Islam, you have the ritual washing before prayer. It's like a thing that goes all around the world, that there is this power in water that everybody kind of acknowledges. And it's just really interesting.
Yeah. And I started making it because it's too much alcohol content, like, and too many synthetics in a lot of Florida waters. Not knocking it because it does smell really good, but I started making it with botanicals of my own, some I had grew and some that I purchased, fresh flowers, and then just started making my own Florida water with just pure, really high grade essential oil.
Oh, very interesting. Do you do any work with astrology?
Very little, and I always tell people, like, and I'm not trying to learn. It's only astrology. I don't have that broadband to take in more stuff like that's very big.
Oh,
But I
yes.
do pay attention. I do pay attention because I see it play out in the clients that come in, my healing guests that come in. I see how whatever the planet is going on with these rising signs and this moon sign and sun sign, how they're playing out with the planets, I just kind of go, yeah, this might have an effect. So when we were in Mercury retrograde in January, I shut down my business
Wow.
for 3 weeks
Wow.
because I don't want any parts of this retrograde because it was a doozy. And I was like, I don't want any parts of this retrograde. So I'm just gonna stay at home, go through my books, order some new books, order some new decks, eat good, take naps. I'm not seeing any clients, nothing. And so when I came back on the 19th, right after it had been over, I said, oh, I should have took off for the whole month because that energy was still kind of trying to track on to catch on to some people, you know. And I was just like, yeah, I should have took off longer because people were really feeling that effect. And so I like to explain as much as I can to people about some of the things that are happening in the planets. So I do follow really good astrologers who can help me just tell someone in a calm, normal, elementary way of how this could affect them. And it seems to help them navigate the rest of the time, even though we got some that's lasting for a long time. And
Oh,
I said,
yes.
remember this is going on until 2025, right? Remember this is going on for another 100 years.
The wheels within wheels, that are the whole cosmic cycle there.
Right. So, but I, the astrology is not my, what I really am interested in is learning about Akashic records. Because I feel like I can probably tap into those records.
Oh,
And so
wow.
so I feel that's my next study is the
Okay.
records. And I want to see how that works with me to tap into those records. Because if we, like when I do readings, I can see some past life stuff on people, and I can see some storylines on their ancestors. So I'm thinking if I can tap into those Akashic records, then that would help deepen the information that I'm giving to them.
Yes. Do you
That's my next one.
regular that so my familiarity with the Akashic Record mostly comes from like Edgar Cayce and kind of like if you travel out of your body, you're able to access this library of everything that's ever happened, past, present, and future. Would that sound about right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I haven't did a real deep study because I'm still focusing on sharing more information that I find out about voodoo. So, but I know that I feel this calling to learn it and find out more. And I feel like I probably could tap into it.
Oh, do you, to the extent you feel comfortable discussing it, do you travel outside of your body on a regular basis or no?
No, I used to. I used to. And I was like, I'm tired. I can't do this no more. I used to have this. I have a very big, bigger than a person white owl that would take me at night into universes that I don't even think people know exist, right?
Wow.
And I would, and it would be almost probably 2-3 times a week for a couple of years, and then I was every day I was exhausted because I felt like I had been out partying, and it would just show me different things all the time. Never was the same, and I'm like, am I supposed to remember all this? Because I cannot remember all of this. And so one day I was talking to a practitioner who does a lot of animal spirit work, and I told him what was going on, and I said, and I'm tired, I can't sleep. It's like I'm constantly getting bombarded by this bird, and it just, she said, well, that's your familiar, it loves you, and it's going to constantly come at you, but put a glass of water by the bed and tell it to stop doing it. That's it. That's simple. And she's like, yeah, just tell it that you don't want to go tonight. You know, the nights you want to go, you welcome it back. And I was like, okay. So I didn't know that I could do it like that, but okay. And I tried it and it stopped. And as a matter of fact, it stopped coming altogether. Like, I couldn't even call it back. And so, yeah, I used to travel quite a bit, and every blue moon, I'll travel outside of my body, and I'll just be looking at the house going, where am I? Why am I here? And why am I with my friend who understands me? And she'll be like, did you come by the house? And I'm like, yep, I came by the house.
Wow. And she's able to perceive that you showed up.
Yeah, because we can feel each other. I'm like, girl, remember when we went to such and such? And she was like, yeah, I was there. She said, really? I was there too. I just came back. I'm like, I don't want to go there, you know. And so it would be stuff like that. It doesn't happen as often like that was, but every blue moon, I will have that little out of body experience where I wake up and I'm kind of like, well, tell me, did this happen? And he was like, no, Angela. I said, yes, it did. Yes, it did, because I feel it in my soul. It happened. He was with me, and he was like, we did not go there. I said, yes, we did go there. And he was like, we never been there. I said, we've been there. No. And so I have it happen every once in a while. And it's maddening because I feel like I actually was there.
Wow. Usually I would never ask somebody about their dreams, but I bet your dream life is probably pretty interesting.
No. I don't remember.
Really? Okay.
I don't even remember them. Every once in a while, I remember certain things that were so weird and bizarre, and it doesn't even make sense. And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, my friend just called me, and she said, you told me that you wanted to do a working, and I was with you. We were in the basement. I said, okay. And then, so she told me this, and then the next day, I had this crazy dream about being in this basement. And I was like, why are we in this basement? And she said, you picked up something that looked like a doorstop and started spinning it around, spinning it around. I said, spin it around, spin it around. And she said, and I was spinning around. Next thing I know, I was just levitating up to the sky. And I was like, where were you going? She said, I don't know. I was just levitating. And I was, she said, and you was just saying, you just over there doing magic, 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 magic. And then I'm having a dream doing magic. And then I called her. I said, okay, I figured it out. Figured out what it was. And she was like, what? I said, there's some type of magic to get rid of something, like pull something out. And she was like, oh, okay, then. I don't know what it was. And I said, I don't know, but it pulled something out. And then that's the end of the dream. But it was like, I go back to sleep, and I still trying to go back in the dream. I was like, nope. I don't want to go back in that dream. That's too weird. I don't know. You know, it's fragmented. You know, sometimes when you dream, it's like pieces, and it kind of comes together, but it don't really come together, and it doesn't make sense. It's almost like, we really don't want you to get all of it right now. We just want you to know it's coming. And I'm like, don't, you know, stay away. So, yeah, I don't do good at dream recall.
Is it possible that maybe you have so many contacts while you're conscious, they don't need to approach you in your dreams too much?
Man, probably, because I can be sitting somewhere and Tony always says, if I start looking up, he's like, I know they're getting ready to start talking to you. And I start looking up and I'm like, Yeah, so here they come. And if I meet somebody, sometimes I'm like, can I tell you something? Because they won't let me go. They want you to know. And I try not to do that in public. I might do it when I'm in the shop with somebody or are they sitting here. I always got messages when I'm sitting with somebody. But I don't like do it. I always tell them, don't come out in the public with me because I can't be out here saying stuff like this to people. Because sometimes people start crying. Sometimes people start laughing. Sometimes they go, how do you know? And they get scared. And I said, I can't do that out in public. But if you come and sit with me, you know that this might happen. And so, yeah, I don't do it out in public. But they talk to me quite a bit. They talk to people when they're here a lot. They show them stuff. Yesterday in my School of the Juju class, someone walked into my kitchen because very few people walk in my kitchen. I put a block on it so you can't come in one way. You only can go in it one way. And so she went into the kitchen and she said, oh, and everybody heard it and they were like, something fell, but nothing fell. And so I said, they don't want that white woman in the kitchen. So then I said, now if this black woman go in here and then do it again, then they don't want nobody in the kitchen, period. So she went in and she came out and nothing happened. I said, and I could hear them saying, why was she in the kitchen? She don't belong in that kitchen. And I was like, okay. And so it's always the house feels like it came with its own set of folks that I inherited. And so once I realized that, I started setting up an altar to the house, like to the house spirit.
Oh,
And
wow.
it seemed like once they realized that I knew that they were here, I came back and the water that I set up for them has spilled over. And so then they said, no, we don't need no altar. We don't need no altar. You got enough. You got enough altars. We don't need an altar. We're everywhere. But
Wow.
they love me. They protect me. They watch over me. And my friends that have the same type of empathic, maybe some of them are mediumship or psychic. When they come over, they go, Angela, you have like a gang of people standing behind you. And they see this guy right over here in this corner. And I was, she was like, they're all over you, like, whoa. And I'm just like, yeah, they're all over the house. And so I believe in this, the ideal and the thought that there are spirits with us that don't know. That we don't know, that just like they like us. They want to be with us. So I got them. I got them. And if people come to the house, sometimes they can feel them. Sometimes they touch their hands. Sometimes they go, oh, I just like her. And they'll tell me, I like her. You should get to know her. And I'm like, wait a minute. Can I see my own? So yeah, it's an interesting house. It was built in 1897. So right at
Wow.
the end of the Victorian era. It just needed a lot of love when I got it. And so my whole time in it has been like, I would tell her, I love you, so I'm gonna take care of you, right? I want you to be a pretty house, right? And so I'm constantly talking to the house. Like I'm telling it right now, hey, I need y'all to help me manifest some money so you can get some new glasses and a new wig. And that's the roof and the windows. And so I'm constantly saying, we got to get a new wig. We got to get a new wig. So we'll see how that works out. They've been good.
So these are not just spirits of people who have passed on. These are like spirit, a lot of different kinds of spirits, like maybe nature spirits, spirits of things, kind of like animism.
Yeah, like the spirit of the wood of the house, right?
Wow.
The house, what the house was built of, the spirit of the plaster that was blended to build the house, and the pieces of newspaper and stuff that I found in the plaster. That energy of that is, and I don't have that energy of anyone dying in the house. I have an energy of the joy of the house and how it liked having a lot of people inside of it.
Oh, that's really interesting. And that's not a perspective you get a whole lot, you know. Usually, you get a much more narrow, well, somebody died here in this year and it must be them. But I don't think it usually is. I think it's a lot of other spirits, a lot of other entities, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one upstairs in my kitchen that wasn't a problem. It just, like, it would terrorize the cat. And so I used to yell in the middle of the night, stop it, stop it. Go sit down somewhere. Leave them alone. And it was almost like I didn't realize that I wasn't afraid or that I realized that it was here. It kind of went away. Because it was like, no, we're not doing that. I got to sleep. So you got to go. And so it would leave. But then there was a little boy in a fire next door to me. And I felt him walking through. I saw him, like, walk into another room. And the cat's gone, too. And they kind of froze. And I was like, oh, no. Mm-mm. So I had to do a cleansing on the house to get rid of him. Because he really thought this was his house. But his house is gone. It's been gone. So, yeah.
Wow. That is really interesting. If you don't mind, I'm just going to throw a couple of things out. And, you know, if the answer is no, then the answer is no. If there's a story there, there's a story there.
Okay.
If you don't mind. UFOs. Any experiences with those?
Yes. While I was living here, I was outside on the deck and I'm just looking up at the sky because it was a real clear sight here. And something like bounced down and then bounced back up and then shot away. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. That's pretty much the reaction I would have too.
You know, but it was that type of experience. But I really didn't say anything about it because I do believe if something is what they can call it a UFO, just because they don't know what it is, they call it an unidentified, you know, flying object. But they really don't know what it is that, remember, there's other places too that are more advanced than us, so they can get around. They come down and see.
I completely believe that.
And so I believe there are other places with other entities or whatever that exist as well, because we can't think that we're the only ones. It's not true. I don't believe that. And there are other cultures on other planets and other galaxies that we can't reach, but they know how to reach us.
I think that's very true. That, yes, just because we can't reach out easily to them doesn't mean that they can't visit here and doesn't mean that they haven't been here for a long time, you know.
Yeah.
You know, let me see. Okay, this is, take it for what it's worth, but I just wanted to ask,
okay,
have you ever had any experiences with cryptids or shapeshifters? Or like Bigfoot, Dogman, any of that?
No.
Okay. That's probably just as well, because most of the things I've heard are terrible. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I haven't. Okay. No, none of that. No. None of the sea, you know, creatures or none of that.
I guess the reason I ask is, well, in your earlier life, I know in Alabama there is a belief in something called the skunk ape. And there are, you know, people who've experienced things and seen Bigfoot down there. And I've always wondered if they also existed in the city, because I don't think they're just a flesh and blood creature. And I think that they can show up a lot of places. And that's just something I've been trying to do a little research on
okay,
you know, cryptids in the city, but all is well.
I haven't ran into them yet, so now I probably run into one. Now you're going to make me go out here looking like, Wait a minute, let me look around a little bit better. Because I just try to go outside, do what I got to do, and come back. And now I got to
Yes,
wait.
but you're probably a
So.
person most prepared to deal with something like that. There's one last thing I wanted to ask you about. You have, I mean, other than Angela, you have another name and another title. What would you like to say about that?
So, I think for over the years, I felt not couldn't, I felt like it didn't feel like a name or a placement that I should take on because I didn't feel like that's not who I am, right? And because I didn't feel like that's the placement that I hold. And but over the years, that name has always kept coming back to me. It shows up in my readings. It shows up when other people who say, "Angela, are you a shaman?" And I would go, "No, I'm not a shaman," right? And they would go, "Okay," like side eye me, like, "Yeah." So,
I
and I
kind of
wouldn't
asked,
take
I
it.
ask you that because I kind of felt like you kind of were a
Yeah,
shaman, but you know.
and I just never took that on. Like, I don't know. I feel like that wasn't my placement. But over time, I realized culturally in my culture, which is native, so I always say I'm an indigenous black, right? And so in my culture and in those many lifetimes that I've been here, that position was my position. I didn't have to say it, people just knew it, right? So, but in this type of culture, where I'm at in my work and how I practice, I feel like I need to honor that position. So my friends would say, "Just go on and say you high priestess." I said, "No, I'm just saying I'm a goddess, right? I'll just say I'm a goddess." But that's all like on trend. So I was like, "Yeah, I don't think that's gonna work anymore." So when I do lives on Facebook, I would just say, "Goddess of the Midwest, baby," and I didn't know that was gonna take on, and it got taken on. So everywhere I go, somebody starts singing it to me like that. But that was just when I was online for fun. But then I signed off on my certificates to my school of good juju, and I put my typed my name in, and then I heard them say, "Nah, take that off, take that off." And then I had to type in, I typed in goddess, Sky Wata Bhakti. And because Skywalker Bhakti has always been it, but I never put anything on the front end of it because I'm ordained and all of that. And so they said, "No, not goddess. Type in high priestess." So I typed in high priestess, and I felt this thing like, "Ooh, I shouldn't. I don't want to put that on there." But I put it on there, and when my students said, "About time, you should have been
Ha
saying that," right? So it's high priestess Skywalker Bhakti. And so the sky is this, the word sky has been with me for so long because it's this devotion. And the bhakti is devotion. So my devotion to the sky, but to the planets, to the moon, to the sun, to the earth, is that devotion to all those things and to the water. The water is because of my deity that I feel like when I really look at it, I have always been a mermaid. I've always been with her, and I didn't know it. And so now I embrace all those things that I really know that I am, but I've been trying to keep them covered up because I don't know how people respond, right? But I would never, I don't think I would legally change my name to that. But as far as that energy when it comes to the work that I do, I will now be carrying that name because they told me I had to. I can't run.
that is a really
Thank
beautiful story though. That is
you.
really impressive. Wow.
Okay.
So yes, we're kind of gonna have to wrap things up here, but thank you for coming on. Is there anything, well, please tell our listeners whatever you'd like to tell them.
Well, I think I told them a lot. And
Oh yes, it's fascinating.
yeah, and so I appreciate that that you found me, and I know that this is all the workings of the universe and ancestors making things happen the way they do, because that's what synchronicities are. And but I do like to say that I'm always open to meeting new people. I also have this thing where bad energy doesn't reside with me in my space. Like, if you're just coming to meet me to just really see if I'm real or legit, or you want to test me, don't do it. Don't test me. Because I got good hands over here, so they will help me out. But in all honesty and seriousness, I'm always open to sharing more information with people, and that they can find me on all the socials. I like Instagram the most, so it's under the Zen Dragonfly. And then they can always look on Google to find out when the shop is open. Because it's new for me, it's kind of hard to navigate appointment times and client times. I'm still trying to figure out my schedule, so it kind of changes often. And I'm a person that will take off the work. I'll just work and not worry, because I always say I'm abundant, so I'm not worried about not working. So I'll just take off because I need to recharge and take care of myself. So I can love on other people as well. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for being our special guest tonight. This has been The Weird Part. Our special guest has been Angela from the Zen Dragonfly. I have been your host, Vincent Treewell. Thank you and good night.